Hello and welcome to Exiled Eagles. My name's Rob Seltzer, and much like Conor Gallagher, we are coming at this with a ton of energy. Joining me today is Dale Courty. Dale, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. I like that. Ton of energy. Yeah, good.
That's it. How are you? That's it, mate. Marky Werner, how are you?
Evening, Robert, gentlemen and viewers. How are we?
Very well, thank you. And last and always least, Ned.
I'm just being way too cautious with how I greet anyone at the start of this pod after last time's episode, where I decided to get a little bit cheeky about not being in lockdown, and 24 hours later, lockdown started and we're still there for the foreseeable future. So, I'm just going to be polite this time. How are you, Rob? Lovely to see you.
Don't say, aren't we all, because... No, we're not all.
No, well, Mark has freedom to go spread his Tinder germs over women, of the unsuspecting women of Brisbane.
This time tomorrow night, mate.
That's it.
Jeez.
Does she know?
Oh, no, it's too rich for my blood. No, I'm just garrowing her, gaffer a feed, and, see where the night takes us.
Does she know you're coming, though, or are you just going to turn up and be like, hello?
I at least let them know, man. Come on.
Let's talk football. Let's talk about something we know. Yeah.
Well, that's debatable as well. Like, come on. All right. So, look, the transfer window has slammed shut. And according to Sky Sports, I'm not sure if any one of you saw that, we have spent £10 million.
Yeah, I did say that. Was brilliant.
Ned's comment, I spent all day refusing to make a comment, and I just chuckled at Ned's.
Yeah, 10 million quid for it. I mean, that's apparently a reputable sports outlet, news outlet, saying we spent million quid.
I think the best bit about that is, so I saw it on the Optus Sport thing over here, and the last thing I saw on Optus Sport was with a sort of graph like that, was they had a pro Leeds thing going on about how far they'd run last year. and we were off the charts, quite literally.
Yeah, I remember that when we weren't even registering.
Always good, those graphs.
Yeah, I think the Padders team would move the equivalent of me from my bed to the kitchen during a game. So, for 10 million, we've done all right with the players we got in. I mean, I tell myself now the transfer window shut that I won't be on Twitter as much, but we all know that's a lie. I will be on Twitter as much. Now, what do we all think of the transfer window? For me personally, I think it's been spectacular. The only one downgrade is Mama Sacco leaving, and the centre-backs we brought in, never going to reach those heights. I'll start with you, Ned. I mean, what's your thoughts on that transfer window?
I think just before we start on the transfer window, I think you touched on probably the second most important thing to discuss. You touched on probably the most important thing, which it's not just you on Twitter now, Rob. So shameless plugs, get them in as early as possible at Exiled Eagles. We are also, as a collective now on Twitter, and by a collective, I mean me, with our name. But going back to the transfer window, I think, absolutely fantastic transfer window. I don't think you can really complain too much about it at all. We got rid of a lot of wages, and we got some fairly aging legs, and we've got in a bunch of youth on significantly less, with a lot more potential, and arguably probably a lot more current talent as well. So very, very bright. Kind of wish I hadn't watched the Old Firm derby on Sunday night, because Edouard is apparently excellent. And the one game I watched of him, he was not. But that's okay. We'll move past his 4-yard miss and wait for him to bang in 35 this season.
Well, on that, before we come to Mark and Dale, I watch the Old Firm too. My old man supported Rangers, so I tend to watch most of them. And he wasn't particularly good at all. I dare say that he knew he was leaving as well. But also, if you have someone that's never watched Palace before, watched us against Chelsea and see Wilf play, then you'd have been like, well, he's awful. Like, we wouldn't spend any money for him. So I think it's a bit of that as well. I don't know much about Edouard. I've seen him score a good few times against Rangers, because I do tend to watch the Old Firm, simply because it was drilled into me as a kid So Dad watched it, so I watched it. I don't really care too much, but they're always fun, the Blood and Thunder games to watch. So a lot of the time, the talent gets lost amongst kind of the day, because the fans go nuts and they just want to see football played at a million miles an hour and people kill each other and all that type of stuff. So you watched it on Sunday. It wasn't a particularly skillful game. So it was just kind of blood and thunder. But anyway, Mark, what's your thoughts on that transfer window that we've just had?
It was good, I thought. Even just for the smatterings of new signings, was nice and sprinkled out throughout the window. We made some movements early and progressively through the window, culminating today with Edouard's, if that's how you pronounce his name, signing, which looks a bit of quality to have up front. And I didn't see any of the old firm Derby the other night, but I think it's fair to say his mind was elsewhere. And I'm not going to hang him out to dry for any 4-yard indiscretions there. I mean, you know, Gay missed one from 2 yards out to win it for us against West Ham. So, you know, if he's missing them from 4, he'll fit right in. But no, it was good, mate. Didn't really seem to pay ridiculous overs or overs of any nature for those signings. The age is good. A little stat here today that I dug up, our average age of our incomings, 23.4 years of age, which is about a decade younger than the last couple of windows, it feels like. And, some good business in there too. You know, a good mixture of guys. You know, Will Hughes, 26, you know, been around a bit, and some young kids on the rise. And I think, you know, we got rid of the, I don't want to say dead wood, that's maybe a bit disrespectful to some of the outs that we had. Obviously, we lost our old Royce in Mama and the hair on top of his head. That's all gone, but I'm sure someone will fill that void, hopefully. Gyro's bombs are certainly putting its hand up. But, yeah, good, mate. Very happy with it. It's exciting. You know, there's no real just sort of grabs of panic in there. Everyone's sort of got a purpose and a place. And, you know, then the old adage of everyone's done, you know, well, we've still got Eze to come back in, and then Ferguson, who will be like a new signing when and if he ever gets back. So, yeah, very positive, mate. A lot to like and a lot to talk about, a lot to mull over and admire from afar in the upcoming season.
Indeed. What are your thoughts, Dale?
It's a good window. If you look at where a lot of the players who have left us have gone to, so Gary Cahill has gone to Bournemouth, Scott Down's gone to Reading, Champagne Wayne Hennessy's gone to Burnley as a number two, McCarthy's gone to Celtic. I think, no, I don't want to be disrespectful to the Scottish Premier League. It's a step down from our league, so that's fine. Maybe that's fine. Sacco's gone to Montpellier, so middle of the road League One side. If you look at the latest coefficients, the French League One's dropped to 6th, I believe. So, you know, it's not a top tier league. PVA's gone to Galatasaray. Yeah, not bad. And Andros is the only one who's really probably enhanced their situation by going to Everton. And if you think about it that way, you can say that we've probably then brought in players who are above that quality. So all in all, on the face of it, it's very good. It's going to take time to gel. I've read in some quarters that we are one of the teams that have won the transfer window or their respective transfer windows because we have backed Patrick Vieira. We were forced to, our hand was forced, but we backed him in a way that we didn't back De Boer. I think we're coming on to this. I personally do feel we are still a couple short in certain areas. The most exciting one, though, I think, is Conor Gallagher. He looks to be really, really, really good. And I read today that we apparently last year, obviously we all know we were very close to taking him on loan. And one of the reasons that fell through apparently was because we couldn't agree, or there was a disagreement over a obligation to buy. So apparently we didn't want an obligation to buy, we wanted an option to buy, and Chelsea wanted an obligation to buy. And that's one of the reasons, apparently, what the main reason why it fell through, and we went for Michy Batshuayi instead. I really hope to God there's an obligation to buy in his contract this time around, because based on his games so far, you want him. So anyway, but all in all, good window. It's a better window. The only window I would say that might be better, the only one I think has been in the Premier League that might have been better, is the Big Sam window, when we knew we needed a left back and we knew we needed a centre mid, and we walked away with PBA, Jeff Schluck and Luka Milivojevic, who were exactly what we needed and were as instrumental as anyone else in keeping us up. But all in all, can't complain, good window.
Yeah, Sacco came in that window as well, I believe, didn't he?
Maybe it wasn't such a good window after all.
Didn't Sacco come at the start of the season? We're not talking
about. I think he came in on loan. I think he came in on loan in that season.
He did.
And then he signed permanently the next window.
He wasn't that instrumental. When we had really important wins like away at Liverpool, he was sat on the bench doing nonsense handshakes.
There it is. I can only agree with everything that's been said. I think it's been a fantastic window, and I'll kind of have a quick question about who excites everyone the most. Dale, you said Conor Gallagher. Will come to Mark and Ned in a second.
Well, hold on. He's excited us the most thus far.
Just by the name that's been...
By names? Yeah.
But I think the thing that I think impresses me the most, and this is a very different tact from Palace that we've seen in the past, is the fact that we haven't been held to ransom by any clubs or any players. So we're going by the Big Bird app here, which is obviously 100% true. You know, the Armstrong deal that we walked away from, he had a 1 year left in his contract. We had a certain amount we were prepared to pay. We weren't prepared to go any more. We'd walk away. And we did. And apparently Southampton paid quite a lot of money for a bloke that was in his last year of his deal. You read everything about the Eddie Nketiah deal. Apparently, Arsenal thought it was going to get done. We couldn't agree personal terms with him. So we're like, stuff you, we want to go Edouard. Instead of like, whereas previously, we'd have been like, fine, no problem, have an extra 50 grand a week because we need him. And we can't, we dance to their tune while they're having them dance to us. So it feels like we've kind of turned a corner in becoming a little bit more mature in doing this type of deal. So it's been, that's the thing for me that's really impressed me and really pleases me, the fact that we're not being held ransom by these clubs and by these players and by these agents anymore. Okay, so this is what we've got to spend, because we had to do some wheeling and dealing because we had to get our money to go as far as we possibly could with the well-established fact that we were losing so many players over the summer, so we had to replace them. So and the money has stretched, as we've just rightly said, really well. So from I've heard differently, to be honest with you, Dale, with regards to Conor Gallagher, that might be right, but I heard that it was all done and dusted, and then we didn't get the striker that we wanted, that we thought we were going to get last term, and then we panicked, and Roy Hodgson was like, I need the striker, so they got Michy Batshuayi instead of Conor Gallagher. But I reckon there's probably a bit of element of truth in both. And Chelsea have just signed that, is it Saul? Yeah. So, and he's a midfielder, so they've got Jorginho, Kante, Saul, Kovacic, and all the people that are going to come up through there, Mount, Havertz, all sitting in that midfield. But I think we've got a very good chance of getting Gallagher next season anyway.
He's not going to be cheap, though. They're the signings. I mean, obviously, so his couple of games, he's been fantastic, but they are the ones, you know, that's, you know, like your, you know, quote unquote Rolls Royce, Mamadou Sakho. Who, you know, went out on loans. I mean, that's the whole point. That's Chelsea's plan. They buy all these kids, they send them out on loan, and they hope that they do well so that they can sell them. I mean, they've sold us Mark Gay for, he's not cheap, and he was nowhere near their first team.
Yeah.
So Conor Gallagher, we know he's not going to be near their first team, but their hope is he comes in, he has an absolute stormer of a season with us. They couldn't care less whether he comes to us at the end of it. They just want maximum dollars at the start of it. So if he has a blinder of a season and all of a sudden, you know, you're talking that sort of next tier up clubs come in for him, well, either we're going to have to pay a lot of money or he's just going to go, or he's going to go elsewhere. So,
yeah, on that, Chelsea sold a midfielder or somebody in this window yesterday for who I've never heard of for around about £13 million. And like, I mean, they're like a 19 or 20 year old kid. It's like,
yeah,
you know, it's a
good, if he has a good, if he has a good season, we're not getting him for less than 30.
I mean, it's a brilliant business model. I mean, it's been spoken
absolutely
about.
Absolutely, it is.
They loan out 40 odd players, and they get, so you're averaging 3 or 4 million pounds a loan fee. Some loan fees will probably get 6 or 7 for a bigger player, like a Batshuayi wouldn't have been cheap for us last year, for example. And then the younger kids are obviously less. But you got all that out. That's just income.
But then your hope is that all the ones you sell, you then stumble upon a Mason Mount, Trevor Chalabar.
I thought we might get through that discussion without Mason Mount's name coming up, but there was no chance of that, was there?
But you know what I mean. In all seriousness.
Well, yeah, no, of course.
You know,
but I don't think, I think that those, for Chelsea, they're added bonuses. Their whole model, they didn't send Mason Mount out on loan in the hope that he was going to develop into a first-team player. They sent Mason Mount out on loan in the hope that he was going to develop into a player they could sell for 15 million quid.
Yeah.
That was what they hoped for. And it just happened to be, oh, well, actually, no, maybe he's a little bit better than that. Because I mean, they have no interest. It's a great business model, but it's a bizarre academy because they have no interest in developing players for their first team.
I'll tell you right now that Frank Lampard hadn't got that Chelsea job, Mason Mount would be at Chelsea now.
No, probably not.
So the reason that he is what he is because Frank Lampard left Derby, went to Chelsea when Mount went back to Chelsea.
Look at Tammy Abraham.
There you go.
Exactly.
I don't rate Tammy Abraham. I don't really rate him, but as far as Chelsea are concerned.
If we come in for an option to buy, and I'm assuming we have an option to get Gallagher in the season, are figures only bandied about when that conversation is had, or is there figures earmarked prior to?
Would depend on the deal.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But usually, if there's an obligation or an option, you usually hear about it by now. Not always, but you usually would hear about it by now, which would suggest to me that. Probably not.
Do we have that? Does that exist? Okay. I haven't heard that there's necessarily an option.
I don't think there is. I think usually you would have heard of it. I would say if he continues to play as he has been, I don't think we'd be getting him for less than 30 million at the end of the year.
Yeah. Well, he's certainly not going back there, is he? With all the names,
he's not getting into the
trundled out. So.
Well, we shall wait and see. So let's move on from Chelsea and talk about Palace.
Crypto. So
we can get back into that in a minute. So today, obviously, Conor Gallagher excites him the most. Quickly, Mark, which of all our summer signings is the one that jumps off the page to you?
Yeah, I mean they all excite me to various degrees. All of them, even Matthews and Jakob Montes, who or what the hell is a Jakob Montes and what's he going to do?
Signed him from the US college system. He's got to be great.
I'm aware, but
he's currently out on loan.
Yeah, where'd he go?
Royal Antwerp.
Marcel Bereven in Belgium.
I threw out a Belgian name. I got it wrong.
Well, on the list of our incoming. I don't know why, had Jacques at the bottom there, who's excited me for a long time. Sadly, not a lot of return to be seen from the big man, and it said his loan expired 30 June 2021. Why he stormed that list, I don't know. But anyway, getting back into a serious answer to your question, Rob, I'm going to go with Will Hughes from Watford. He looks good. Debuted quite a few years ago, still 26. Comes from Watford, so I'd love nothing better than for him to just come and light it up here. at Palace and have those scumbags up at Vicarage Road crying into their beer.
On Will Hughes, a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, used to live with him when I was at uni, who is now the director of scouting, funnily enough, at Toronto FC. He's a Derby County fan. And years ago, and I'm talking years ago, he told me about a kid called Will Hughes coming through the Derby Academy, who he just says, and this is when my mate had just gone into scouting, and he actually cut his teeth working for Football Manager, funnily enough, doing the scouting for them. And he said, this kid is one of the best passers of football we've ever seen. Like, just unbelievably good. Obviously, he's had a few injuries along the way where he hasn't quite hit the heights they wanted. If we can get anywhere near that potential, and he's only 26, and if you ask Watford fans, they'll tell you he's been one of their best players the past couple of seasons. We've got a right player there, a real player.
That's good.
Yeah, hence my excitement. I think he debuted back in 2011, Dale, from memory or something like that. Like you say, as a young kid. So, you know, it's sort of, so you can't put an old head on young shoulders, but he's kind of exactly that, really. Got him for a song, about, 7 million euros, 5.5, 6 million quid or something. So, and just looks, he's certainly got a look about him. Reminds me a little bit of Johnny Williams. And I just reckon he's just got that ability to kind of be a bit of a cult hero, SC25. So let's see what he can do.
Awesome. Ned, who's the one that jumps off the page at you, mate?
I'm going to highly irresponsibly go for one that I've obviously pretty much never seen play. I think in terms of, as Dale said, I think Gallagher's very exciting. What sort of has me a bit nervous about that is, as we've already spoken about, he is on loan. It could be a, you know, 1 year, enjoy it, and then see you later, never to be seen again. Whereas I think based off all reports and sort of, you know, little bits and pieces that I've seen, I think Elise is probably the one that I think is going to be potentially the excitement package, hopefully. I'm just basically hoping for a left-footed Eze, to be honest. If he can be anywhere near sort of what he's been hyped up to be, I think he's a really, really exciting one. And also, you know, from what I've seen, it'd be nice to have someone with a left foot who can take set pieces. I'm probably looking forward to him, and I think, you know, he should be back by all reports once we come back from the transfer window. From the international window. We'll hopefully get to see him in action straight off the bat from there.
Agreed. I think the Will Hughes signing has kind of gone under the radar a little bit with Palace fans, because like, he was announced on the day of a game, and then everyone was hoping to get the striker in, and then we got Edouard, and it's kind of all his fanfare, and like, Will Hughes kind of slipped in. So I think that's a stunning bit of business by the club.
That's a great price.
It's just, yeah, fantastic.
But and a complete change to who we are as a club, as we've already said.
Absolutely.
There's no... I mean, I've seen people on social media absolutely rubbishing Will Hughes signing. And to me, they're the people who want us to play 4-1-5. Like, they've got no idea what it means to have somebody like a Will Hughes. Will Hughes, to me, is like Johan Cabaye. He will just play those little passes. He will have the vision. And you need those players, right, to be good. So
yeah, it's a nice through balls to a flying Eze or Zaha or...
I couldn't agree more, exactly. And I just think it's been very under the radar. So I think it's a great signing. I think, and it does excite me massively, because I think that's a piece in that cog. I think that kind of combines Gyro's passing ability with kind of Kiyate, obviously not the same height, but Kiyate's physicality a little bit. We miss something there without him there. But for me, as Ned said, I think Elise is one that, from all the group, don't get me wrong, I think the win has been amazing, and I'm excited to see them all, as Mark attested to. But Elise, young championship player of the season, in the championship team of the season, I think, 8 million quid for a guy that, and we know the young English talent goes for silly money. And we broke, we just paid the money, we paid 8 million. He turned us down in January because he thought we were going to get better. Let's be honest, that's why he did it. But yet Vieira comes and now we've got this guy here. So I'd say that's kind of who I'm most excited about.
I think you probably hit the nail on the head with our first bit though, Rob. I think of all of our signings, I mean, it was the last time we had a window where we signed, where every player we signed, we all went, gee, I can't wait to see him. Gee, he's going to be good. This is an exciting signing. That's fantastic. Like, I don't think there's any signings that we've really come up with that I've gone, whatever. Like, amazing, every single signing that we've had, you're sort of sitting there going, well, actually, yeah, no, I quite like that. That's a good signing. I mean, we'll all look really silly at the end of the year when we finish dead last, relegated, and all of them have been horrible. But for now, I was sort of sitting there looking at him going, I don't think there's a single signing that we've got. And I'm going, oh, yeah, no, yeah, whatever. Doesn't bother me. And conversely, of all those players that have gone out, other than possibly Andros, there's none of those players that have gone out that I've gone, oh, shit, we're really going to miss them.
Yeah.
So from both ends of the transfer window, I think you're sitting there looking at it going, yeah, that's pretty good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hats off to the board.
Yeah, absolutely.
And well, Dale touched on it, so let's go briefly to Dale. We won't spend too long on here because my thoughts are kind of, you can't, we had so much work to do on the squad and you can't build Rome in a day, as the old saying goes. So, do you think we're light anywhere? Do you think we need just a couple of other pieces for that puzzle? And if so, where do you think those pieces may be that we could, I doubt we're going to do much in January unless we're in relegation trouble. So we're probably looking into next window. Where do you think we might be slightly lacking, Dale?
I think another winger. It was a lot of people said another winger. There were a lot of options out there who were thrown about. Maitland-Niles from Arsenal. What's gone on with him at that club's a disgrace. Yeah. I feel a bit sorry for him. But whatever, Lookman obviously went to Leicester. Can't really bemoan in that. Really surprised nobody went for David Brooks from Bournemouth. Thought somebody might have looked at him. But at the same time, depending on the formation we play, if you've got Eze and Olise and whoever else, we might not need wingers. And Zaha, don't necessarily need more wingers. The one for me, the areas for me, which I think we are a tad bit light, left back. So this is no slight on Tariq Mitchell. This is just saying we don't necessarily have cover or someone to push him. So whilst last year we weren't happy with PBA, at the same time we didn't mind if he played because he was a capable player. He knew what you were getting from him.
Mm.
You know what I mean? At the moment, it's Reece Hannon who is spending the Thursday or Friday night playing for under-23s and then potentially sitting on the bench, who could have to come on at a moment's notice for Tariq Mitchell. And then the other one is, and this might be a little bit controversial, is it right back? Is it our fullbacks? We have one who hasn't played a lot of football over the past 4 or 5 years in Nathaniel Klein and is currently injured. I was also a little bit shocked to see what his salary was today, actually. He's one of the higher earners in the club without seeing when new salaries will come in. And Joel Ward. I know Joel is marked Aussie battler, and there's no doubt about it. The guy battles hard. He does battle hard. It baffles me a little bit that he's our first choice right back after being in the Premier League this long. And I don't mean that in any disrespect to Joel Ward. So for me, I think we're just short in those areas. A potential solution for a left back, just having a look at the free transfers, players available on the free transfer. Sit on the bench, bit of experience. Robbie Brady is knocking around. I don't think he's necessarily an upgrade on anything we got. But sometimes having these people around the squad and having a reliable player who you can use who's been around the Premier League isn't necessarily a bad thing. If you ask me about right backs, there wasn't many out there. The only one that jumped up the page to me was Raphael, ex-Man United. Probably wouldn't touch him with a barge pole. He's, you know, again, not really been around knocking around recently. So
I think there is one at right back that is an interesting one, and I'd say probably you'll try and get snapped up, and that's Serge Aurier.
Serge Aurier is the other one.
Who's obviously Tottenham just got to the point where obviously they needed the space, and they tried to sell him. They couldn't sell him. And so now he's just knocking around as a free agent.
The only reason I didn't say Serge Aurier is I have a feeling that there might now be a little bit of a bidding war for Serge Aurier.
I agree.
There's going to be...
He's by far the best free agent right back that people can sign right now.
100%. And there will be a team in France, a Lyon, for example, who will need somebody to cover, and they'll go get Serge Aurier. He'll end up in Italy somewhere potentially, because he will be able to do a job in those leagues and will end up getting European football. So, but that's it. Otherwise, yeah, the free agent list, if you have a look at it, is really uninspiring. So... Don't have a look.
Well,
that's what I was obviously about to do. Just
why do that, Ned? Where do you think we might be? Like, do you agree with Dale there? Do you think we're covered? Like, where do you?
Yeah, think? No, I think Dale's spot on the money in terms of, I think, the fullback areas are probably the main ones. As you say, Tyrick Mitchell. We all wanted to be in the team. We all wanted to be our first choice left back. Come through the academy a bit, and you go, okay, absolutely. That's what you want, but you do also need more than one left back, and you don't want it. And I mean, you know, you saw him; he didn't have his best game the other week, and you sort of sit there going, "It's going to get to a point." I mean, before this year, he hadn't played in front of more than 10,000 people in his career. We sit there thinking about that, going mental, because he was playing all through the pandemic. Was when he came in, so he, you know, he's going to play. He's got to get all his pressure now. Plus, you know, just the fatigue of playing every single week in, week out, cup games. He's going to be playing because we haven't got anyone else. And it's going to get to a point where he's going to need a break, or his form's going to deteriorate a bit. So we would have been good to have someone there. As much as we all sort of, you know, slagged off PVA with that big attacking wing back that Vieira seems to like playing in some games, he would have been absolutely perfect for that. And likewise, you know, if you look at the other side, if we're going to be playing with these, you know, high pressing wing backs, that's not Tyrick Mitchell, that's not Joel Ward, that's not Nathaniel Clyne. None of those players are the player who is going to be able to do that to the maximum sort of capacity that we would like. The other one that you can potentially use at left back, if you're going to do that, is that potentially becomes another option for Jeff Schlupp to slot in. There's somewhere else for him to play. I think that's where he sort of played a bit at Leicester when they won the Premier League. So that sort of provides us with a little bit of cover there, but it is sort of feeling a little bit makeshift in those areas. Out wide, sort of going forward, I think we've got a lot of players in those. But so basically in all the wide areas, I think we've got a lot of players that can play in those areas, but not very many that if you ask them what's your best position, or you looked at what their best position is, would say that, you know, out wide was it. So the downside of that is it means that there's going to be more minutes for players like Jordan Ayew than perhaps we'd like. But, you know, I think we're starting to get a little bit fussy given the window we've just had and given the squad upgrade that we've just had. I think we are sort of sitting there just ticking over the first world problems.
Absolutely. Mark, you got anything to add to that? You got that fairly covered?
Yeah, that's basically it. I don't have anything to add of great note. I agree with most things Dale said there, apart from his slight on the best right back in the world, Joe Ward. So there's no problem. Obviously, maybe some cover for Wardy. He might, you know, slip down the lawn or something and have some sort of innocuous injury and be out for a week or two and have to get
I don't think he's that interesting, Mike.
Someone else.
I don't think he's interesting enough to go and mow the lawn.
Yeah, he was out on a boat, I saw in social media.
Yeah, boat injury he could pick up as well. And like Ned said, yeah, he's not necessarily bombing forward because he's back on the goal line, clearing balls, keeping Crystal Palace in the game when all before him have failed. All right. So that's going on with Joel Ward. Some cover for Mitchell as well would be good. I'd probably chuck in a winger in there with the footnote too. I think that Vieira will have a far closer eye on our academy and the guys coming through. So you've got your Rakzakis, your Hannams, your Banks, you know, your Omalabus, all sniffing around, and I'm sure they're going to be monitored a lot more closely than was done so under Uncle Roy. And, you know, he can have some plans for a couple of those blokes that we're not privy to. So I'm sure, you know, for the bulk of it, yeah, like Ned said, we've come down to first world problems and getting very nitpicky to...
I think Rakzaki's a great name that you just mentioned there as well. I think he's every chance this year to sort of come on in leaps and bounds, particularly given that those wider areas are possibly just, you know, if there's a gap for people to sneak in, that's it. So I think he might get a few minutes off the bench here and there. And if he can, you know, happen to snag a goal or an assist and boost himself up a bit of confidence, then who knows? Because he's very tricky. And you sort of, I mean, like you've watched some of the 23s games or some of the preseason friendlies, and you just, when he starts running at players, and I know that it's obviously preseason and the players aren't as good a quality, but it's just that sort of that long leggy run like Wilf Scott, where he sort of just, you know, sticks his body there and just takes players on and just sort of gets past them in that really efficient manner. So if we can get a player like that coming through, don't worry about signing those wingers. I take it all back.
Yeah, that's it. And
it will be interesting to see how Patrick Vieira goes with some of the younger players. His reputation has kind of been made on the work he did at City. So you'd like to think that he would know how to handle some of these kids, and that we will get a chance to see them and just hopefully give them the opportunity to sink or swim.
Yeah. That's it. Ned talking about Rakzaki there. Dale, what was in that big clip seal bag you just pulled out of that drawer in your desk there?
Headphones.
Right, that what you call it. Fair enough, mate. Yeah. Whatever.
I'm trying to find a set of headphones to go in my computer because trying to put Samsung Bluetooth headphones to a Mac doesn't work.
I'll remember that for next time. No, yeah, just mate. Headphones, officer.
Yeah, though, Rakzaki's an interesting one. I think absolutely, I mean, our big money obviously went on the centre-backs there, and then obviously we had the 14 million on Edouard. So I think that we've built the spine of the team now. So you've got your two centre-backs, we've got the midfielders in, we've got the striker in, so that spine is now set. I think next summer is when we look at the full-back areas. Hopefully Ferguson would fill that right wing-back void. Time will tell, but I dare say next summer we see like that left back come in. I think Ned's shout on Jeff Schlupp is very, very good in that kind of that left wing back spot, if that's something that we want to do. And with the Papa John's trophy this year, I think it's going to be fantastic for our under 23s. Like, okay, it's not going to be week in, week out, they're getting that type of football, but we're going to see them against at the level that they'd probably be loaned to. So again,
they playing that last night.
Yeah, they lost 3-0. Good result. Yeah.
So just to confirm, even in that, we still can't score a goal in the cup.
Yeah, that's it. this will be interesting to see. So I'd say they'd keep them around till January at least, and then some of the better ones will probably go out on loan. It'd be nice to see some of them go to like kind of top end of League One, Championship standard, rather than going into your League Twos and where we've been sending most of the boys on loan. So it'll be interesting to see if we kind of get those loans for them. But yeah, it's an exciting time, a great window. And I think next summer, like, a lot of the funds we put to kind of the wider positions and kind of strengthen that squad. So this could be the summer that starts that kick on. Fantastic. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to actually playing sports. So we've had three games. So it's two draws and a defeat in the Patrick Vieira era. Some encouraging signs, some worrying signs as well, obviously. So let's start with Marky Mark here. What have your thoughts been on the first three games? I mean, obviously Chelsea, very tough start. I think people jumping on that one is ridiculous because, I mean, it will put it into context. Their first game at home in front of fans as European champions. Ridiculous. But I mean, how have you thought? Have you seen progression? Are you liking what you're seeing? Are you nervous? What's your thoughts?
I was proud of the West Ham game. And before Gallagher's goal, I was a little bit nervous because I just wanted a goal, you know, a cup game in there against Watford, goalless, obviously. For Palace, I wasn't at all bothered about the Chelsea game scenario. 3-0, I mean, yeah, it's a convincing defeat. It's not a battering. I wasn't bothered about it, and just absolutely ridiculous for, you know, which you always expect these days, you know, people on social media and Roy in and all this shit after the Chelsea game. I mean, it's comical, it really is. So complete nonsense. And then Brentford, which, yeah, have come out guns blazing and up for it, obviously, rolled Arsenal on their opening day. So they were well up for the fight, and I thought that was probably a fair result in the end. Both teams probably had a chance to nick it. But at the end, I thought that was fairly a fair result, you know, clean sheet and a point and all that. Get us a little bit of momentum, get us on the board, get us moving forward, albeit with without a goal. And then Watford Cup, yeah, I don't know, that just is what it is. We're just not a cup team. These last couple of years, and yeah, when 5 minutes to go, so I thought, oh yeah, you know, we got extra time or straight the shit out, whatever they're doing with those these days. But we couldn't manage that, and then yeah, you know, West Ham top of the table at the time, so I thought, okay, this would be a fair litmus test, and you know, of course, they went a goal up, and yeah, great to peg one back and to do that twice. Gallagher showing his class and a bit of resolve in the team that I think came about, you know, certainly the second half was a lot better than the first, and a bit of steely resolve from all the boys, you know, we've got a goal, right, let's go on with it. So we've got a shit run. I think we've still got bloody Liverpool and Spurs next. So that's typically 1-0 to Spurs in the 80-something minute. But I'm confident, yeah. Just getting those goals, man, even on the WhatsApp and stuff with West Ham, I was like, I would take a loss just as long as we score. Just needed to get that one, just for the minds, you know, for I'm sure for players and supporters alike, just hit that net, get going, and then, you know, the window's shut. So get these guys in, bed them in. They all look up for it. There's some quality in there. So, yeah, I think we could get something out of Spurs, we, you know. 1-0 or 0-0 something with them, might nick it by a goal. Liverpool probably don't fancy our chances again. You know, there'll be a some rebuilding and guys getting to know each other on the park. But yeah, sort of north of that, starting to look good. You know, they've got Brighton, so hopefully we're starting to get our ducks in a row by them and give them an absolute fucking toweling. Be good.
What about you, Dale? How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, look, very positive. After the West Ham game, I was pretty positive after the Brentford game, if I'm honest. We were crossbar stroke post and a very good David Raya save away from winning that game. I personally believe the Gallagher goal goes in early doors. We run away with that.
Yeah.
Chelsea was a free hit. Let's be honest, it's an absolute free hit. $5.50 to win the league, mate. That wasn't a bad bet. I tell you what, they're going to be up there, so whatever. Brentford flying high after beating Arsenal. So, you know, ultimately, yeah, disappointing not to get the win, but 0-0, so was it De Gea. Guaita wasn't really overly extended, I don't think. He probably shows a bit of his main fallibility, which is the ball under pressure, but you know, he didn't really have much to do. And then West Ham, let's be honest, the first half wasn't great, but it took them 38 minutes to get the goal, and their first goal, it was very good. But up until that point, again, we weren't really like tested. Like, we didn't really have, it wasn't like shot after shot after shot after shot. Second half, that's got to be the template, right? Put the first half of Brentford and the second half of West Ham, that's got to be the template. There was some verb, there was some vigour. he did not have his best game, but Wilf looked a bit more like Wilf. He tried to take players on. He tried to do some tricks. He wasn't moaning as much, which was great to see. And we obviously saw the passion that he showed when Gallagher scored his second. The only concern for me from the 2 points we got was a little bit about how Joachim Andersen got bullied by Mikel Antonio for his goal. There was a little nudge in the back, but I think he's just got to be a bit stronger there. He just seems to be a bit...
He's not going to be the last centre-back in the league yet.
He's not.
Mikel Antonio.
He is not. I probably wanted to see a little bit more. And a couple of times in that game, and again, I appreciate some of these players, it is whatever it is. You can't suddenly develop speed. A few times at the back, we got caught, and we just didn't seem quite as quick as I thought we would be. So when Wardy, for example, made his cover tackle on the line, I think that was a good example of a time we got cut open quite easily, and there wasn't as much pace as you'd like to have seen. But that's, again, first world problems, as Ned said earlier, with the transfer window. I think there's more reasons to be optimistic than there are to be the other way.
Absolutely. Ned, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think for me, I mean, I think I said it, if not on the last pod, definitely in a few of the chats. The season, this was sort of these first 3 weeks before the international window was almost a bit of a sort of extended pre-season. Chelsea, I didn't think there was any particular issue. I didn't have any particular issues with that. I mean, Guaita didn't have his best game. If he has one of those games where he stops everything going in the back of the net like he does occasionally, you know, that game suddenly becomes 1-0, gets a little bit more cagey. Maybe you bullshit something at the other end and you can get away with a point. Obviously Chelsea thoroughly deserve the win, but you're sitting there coming away from that game going, well, defensively we looked okay. They scored 3 goals, but they probably only had maybe half a dozen chances. So I don't think we look particularly suspect at the back. Looked solid at the back again against Brentford. Just couldn't quite find that ball in the back of the net. I think everyone was expecting us to go out and smash Brentford. Just doesn't really understand enough about Brentford. They're going to be a good side. They've got, they'll probably be one of those second season syndrome sides next year. But I think this year they'll do very well. Just with that confidence and the understanding of how they play, once everyone sort of starts to cotton on to how that works, yeah, they'll start going backwards, but they'll have a strong start to the year. So, the point there, that you take that. West Ham was always going to be the one. They were the first team we played that were going to be able to, that were going to sort of come out at us and were going to leave us a little bit of that space potentially to attack. And so, I was just hoping to get a goal and keep it competitive in that one. Come away with the point. Obviously fantastic. It was a brilliant second half in particular. And I think, it was also good to sort of, as Dale said, see Wilf start to come back a little bit. I think he's sort of struggling to adapt to the fact that at the moment it's no longer just about him. Opposition defenders are still saying it's all about you. So they're still going 2, 3, 4 players on him. But as a team, we're not just going, get ball, give Wilf, get ball, give Wilf, get ball, give Wilf. So he's having to adapt to potentially not quite getting as much of it, but still needing to be, still wanting him to be as efficient. But I think as teams start realizing that, oh, okay, they do actually now have other threats, they won't be throwing all of those players on Wilf, and he'll get a little bit. And so as you get a bit further through the season, he'll get a little bit more space to really come back into it. So he'll be able to isolate himself one-on-one, get those chances to create and score goals. Which is good. So, yeah, like I say, I think very positive start. Tough run of fixtures. Like I say, I think Spurs next has got either 0-0, 1-0 written all over it. That's just how they're playing at the moment. Hopefully, Harry Kane doesn't come back after 2 weeks of training and suddenly decide that, okay, transfer window's closed, I'm going to start trying now. But if he doesn't do that, then based on the way they've been playing, they're not going to be bombing forward and throwing us under a heap of pressure. I think that's probably been the thing that I like the most from our perspective has been the fact that, yes, we have been trying to possess the ball, then yeah, we have been taking those risks and those stupid goal kicks that go half a centimetre to the left or right and then get whacked long for no apparent reason. But we haven't looked sort of necessarily considerably worse defensively than we say were last year, which I think was the concern, obviously, you know, having been through the Frank de Boer thing and then going into Roy, who was obviously compact, keep your shape. I think we've done that quite well still, but being able to go on with it a bit and play around with the ball a bit more, which has been good without, because I was concerned that doing that, we were going to have those suicidal chances coughed up. I still think we will have some of those suicidal chances coughed up as we go, but I was expecting a lot more of them. So that's been a pleasant surprise.
Agreed. I think if you want...
Oh, this is boring, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah. If you put the
Come on, game, mate. That's like the fifth time you said that in this pod. Just say you hate what I said and disagree.
For once, you're making good points. For once, you're making good points. It makes a nice change. Maybe the transfer window's changed you. But you know, if you take the Chelsea game in isolation, how many players started that game that weren't here with us last season? Great. Exactly. So that's a Roy team trying to play Patrick Vieira's system. Not going to happen.
Exactly.
Second game, we had Brentford. So all of a sudden, Gallagher comes in, Benteke starts. And you heard, I think most of us have heard what Thomas Frank said. He said they had a plan for Wilf first half, and they did it really well. But Gallagher was really dangerous. So then they had to have a plan for Gallagher and Benteke. So all of a sudden, and then you think what's coming now is that you're going to have someone like Will Hughes that can pick a pass. We had Kouyaté in that pivot who can't. You've got Will Hughes in it. You have Elise and Eze on the horizon. All of a sudden, Gallagher, Elise, Eze, Wolf. Teams can't double up on all of them. That's eight players if they're doubling up on all of them. Eight. There's only three other players left on the pitch for them. Can't happen. All of a sudden, there's space. There will be space. And whether it's Wolf one-on-one, whether it's Eze one-on-one, whether it's Elise one-on-one, whether it's someone Gallagher one-on-one, whether it's, but there's going to be that space happening. So I can see it coming. And as you all rightly said, it's been a horrible start. You want to play the team, someone like Brentford, in December, just after they've been battered by City, just after they've been battered by Chelsea, and just after they've been battered by Liverpool. That's where you want to play them when they've got no confidence anymore. We played them after just beat Arsenal 2-0 and having just played a final.
I mean, if they'd beaten Arsenal this week, it probably wouldn't have given as much confidence because they would have realised that everyone does that. But
yeah, but they're also unbeaten this year. They've beaten Arsenal, they drew with us, and they went away to Villa and drew.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think they'll be as good as Ned said. I think they'll probably struggle towards the end of the season. But, you know,
I'm not saying they're going to make Europe, but I mean, I think of the promoted clubs, I think they'll do the best.
Yeah, I'd probably say that.
I think they'll do better than Norwich. I think they'll do better than Watford. So.
And then, but yeah, so, and obviously West Ham was a superb second half, superb comeback against a team that were top of the league and absolutely flying, and they gubbed Leicester 4-1 in the game before. And okay, they had a man sent off, but we've played against many teams with men sent off. We lost 3-0 to Villa when they had a man sent off, and they could have scored 9 last season. So they still did it. We'll be going on a bit. So let's kind of go on to the last, one of the last sections is kind of what do we expect. So we've touched on it. So the next games are Spurs at home, Liverpool away, Brighton at home, Leicester at home, Arsenal away. So that's in our next 5. Rumour has it Elise might be back for Spurs. Obviously I doubt he'll start, but we could have someone on the bench and then we could start getting him in, and there's Will Hughes in and Lucas back. So all of a sudden the squad depth is looking a bit better. So from those 5 games, Ned, what would you hope what would you hope for, like a points tally? Like, would you think it's a realistic points tally to get from Spurs home, Liverpool away, Brighton home, Leicester home, Arsenal away?
Obviously 15.
Obviously. Here's the first disagreement.
Realistically, I think you look at those fixtures and you go, against Tottenham, a point is the best, is probably your best case that you'd hope for. Liverpool, you're probably not getting anything out of. Brighton is going to be a very interesting game. Hopefully, you know, we haven't been absolutely spanked by Tottenham and Liverpool and going into that with no confidence. And then I think, you know, once you get into that, I think Brighton, you can pick up some points. Leicester, you know, at the moment they seem to be fairly hot and cold. You can pick up some points. Arsenal, I mean, who knows where they'll be at by then. They could have a new manager by that stage. Or potentially we could sack one, which would be fantastic. That's my hope. But, I mean, like, realistically, I think, you know, people have just got to, you know, understand that it's not necessarily panic stations. If these next five games don't go superbly, you're going to want – you're obviously going to want to get a win in there somewhere. Hope, you know, if you can get two superb, you know, if you can pick up sort of 6 or 7 points there, that would be absolutely phenomenal, I think. Realistically, if you can do better than a point a game in those five fixtures, you're probably doing okay at this stage. And then sort of, you know, you get into those games, the next few. So, you know, you then have your Newcastle's, Man City, Wolves, Burnley. Obviously, I probably shouldn't have said Man City in the same voice as those other ones, but, you know, you are looking at your Newcastle, Wolves, Burnley, Villa, Leeds. You know, you start getting into that run of fixtures where you're going, okay, these are a bit more winnable. But I think, yeah, no, the way we're playing, why not snatch an upset? Liverpool haven't looked as sharp going forward as they have previously. So, you know, I'd be surprised if they're going, you know, in 7-0 form. So, you know, if they have a slightly off day.
They weren't in 7-0 form before they played us last season. They'd lost like four in a row or something stupid.
Yeah, and
they
came exactly. To us and
got seven.
No, they went on that run after they played us. They were doing all right until they played us. And then they beat us 7-0 and then just were like, all right, well, that's like a month's worth of goals done. We're not going to bother scoring against anyone else.
No, fair enough.
But, yeah, so hopefully, but I think, I think that, you know, Spurs and Liverpool, if you're going to have to play them, this is probably the time. So, you know, might as well, you know, hope for the best. Actually, during the African Cup of Nations, it's probably the time. But, yeah, I'd say, yeah, if we can get 5 or 6 points, that would be superb. If we don't, it's not the end of the world. We'll live. Just beat Brighton, please. That's all I ask.
What do you reckon, Dale?
6 points. You want to get some points. Don't want to get beaten too badly in the games where we might lose. That's it. Want to get players playing, team structure set up. If we can get 6 points, I'll be very happy.
What are you marking up?
I think we'll get 5 points out the next five games by virtue of a win, two draws, two losses. We'll beat Brighton and any compilation with the other four teams. Could go either way. You know, we might snag another 2-2 against Liverpool and then, bloody, you know, lose 1-0 to Arsenal, lose to Spurs and draw Leicester. But, yeah, I reckon 5 in the next 5, and then which will be like par and gettable. And then in that time, yeah, I think the boys will start to cotton onto the vibe, pick up what PV's putting down, and yeah, get into those mid lower table mob and have our way with them. But yeah, 5 and 5 coming up.
I'm very happy with 5 and 5. I think that's a good par score. Anything more than that, I think we're very happy indeed with more than 5 in the next 5. But as Ned said, if we get 4 or 3, you know, it's not the end of the world. It's that work in progress. So then the next round of fixtures where we're going to really have to start hitting our straps. So it would put a little bit more pressure on those next round of fixtures. So 5 points would be nice. But as long as we don't get spanked weekly, which we're not going to, because the way we're playing and the way we're set up, it's not going to happen. All right, this is where I hand over to my Aussie correspondents. See anything happening in the Aussie world of football? Probably not much because it's off season here. And I mean, the Mariners. I'm still waiting for my phone to ring. The Mariners have not called me because the Central Coast season has finished. Unfortunately, Barnstaplewood United 35C. Finished a respectable 9th out of 10. But I was a standout at right back. I'm still waiting for Nick Montgomery to call because I am available on a free. Not yet happened. But so
I see what you mean about the options at right back and the free agency being shit, Dale.
Well, no. From what I've heard, I've looked at the list there. I agree, Serge Aurier is one. I'm probably third or fourth.
No, so, close.
Okay, second. Thanks, Dad. That's really nice of you to say. But anything going on in Aussie football land?
A few bits and pieces, mate. The Socceroos rekindle their qualification process for the upcoming World Cup, starting at the time of 4 a.m. Friday morning. So be rubbing the eyes and getting up to watch that, playing China. And then we have Vietnam 2 or 3 days after that. So that'll be good. The boys are all in camp now. I think they're over in Doha. Few call-ups. A few guys getting the squad for the first time. Paul Izzo, I think, is one. I don't know much about him, but he's...
Of those new call-ups, there's a very heavy Adelaide United flavour, which I can only put down to Carl Viet. You've got your Izzo's, Ryan Strain, Riley McGree with a bit of ex-Adelaide in there. There's another couple. But obviously, Carl Viet's having a strong...
We've played the Carl Viet game for a while. We'll have to play that next... Not this pod, next pod. We'll play the Carl Viet game.
Absolutely. Dale, save it for the next time, mate. Keep your powder dry.
We've gone for his brother Brad.
Incidentally enough, out of that qualification process, Ryan Grant, the only locally based A-League player to get over there and get amongst it. All the others are overseas based, so I would expect two convincing wins from the boys there, but very much looking forward to that. Couple of signings. I'm not sure if we mentioned Hayley Russo on the last pod. She signed with Man City, as has Alana Kennedy, also gone to City. So that's pretty big. Tom Charlie for the girls, massive club. Good for them. Off the back of the Olympics, Dennis Genroux has signed for Toulouse, which is a Ligue 2 side, I believe. Has a French connection, so he applies his trade well, mate. We might even see him at Selhurst Park with Big Pat at the helm and the French connection that he's leaning on a bit that I'm liking. That's about it, mate. Obviously, our domestic league is in its off-season, so nothing happening on that front. So just cheering on all the boys abroad and girls, and looking forward to the ruse go about. Over to you, Ned.
Yeah, all I'm going to throw out is obviously said on the domestic front, it's the off-season. So if anyone is looking for any Australian football-related content, which I know Rob is, it's okay if you can ignore the actual football side of things, but go and have a look at Melbourne Victory's signing announcement videos. Some fantastic work being done by the social media team. But I'm just going to finish off with just a magnificent rumour that I heard that is completely unfounded. And almost certainly untrue, but I'm desperately hoping that it is accurate, which is potentially that Melbourne City allegedly have a signing in quarantine who is an ex-German international, potentially with some Palace links.
He's still sitting on the free transfer list.
I know he's still sitting on the free transfer list, but there's rumours that there is someone that meets that description. Currently Messi, unannounced and in hotel quarantine in Melbourne. So I would find, it'd be a great A-League signing. It would be a terrible career move for him. But if Max Meyer manages to make his way over here, that could be that's my unfounded rumour.
Him and Jordan will have a super pod.
Yeah, that's it. We can see which one of them hates Palace more.
Talking of yourself being available at right back, Rob, and what a sterling job you'd no doubt do. I got a message on Facebook today for the Crystal Palace Brisbane supporters group to see if we'd be interested in joining up a walking football comp. So, mate,
that's probably more Rob's pace.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it, Ned. That's kind of the fucking gag, mate. But so that's interesting. I don't, other than how it sounds, I don't know anything about walking football. I guess it's like touch football or whatever it is what it says on the tin. But for my 45-year-old pins, could be right up my alley.
I'm going to be honest, Mark. I'm deeply offended.
Good.
My last 100 meter time of 18.3 seconds surely deserves not to be as if it was 18.3. It was 19.2. But who cares?
dig up, Rob. Dig up.
Yeah, I was.
I do feel like one day we need to do a video pod just purely so that all of our lovely listeners can just see Dale's facial expressions. Because it is, you know, 90% of my enjoyment of this, you know, there's 10% of it is picking on Rob and 90% of it is enjoying Dale's facial expressions.
Jimmy Fletcher, when this COVID lark's over, let's get the CPFC supporters back on the pitch. That's what I say.
Yeah. Also, just one more quick mention before you wrap up there, Rob. I know, I think we spoke last pod and Joel Ward, who's, as I've already stated, the best right back in the world. We all know that. And Palace's own little Aussie battler, who personifies the fighting Australian Anzac spirit that for some reason just lives in his chest and comes out of him each and every weekend. And Dale suggested that to ditch the little Aussie battler moniker and just call it the Joel Ward Award, which is... quite catchy, rolls off the tongue a lot better, and to be fair, is synonymous with being a little Aussie battler. And I thought that during the Watford game, and I thought if those guys had a similar award, and then I thought over there on the Watford podcast, they could have the Tony Awards, perhaps. Big run up for not much at the end, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was trying so hard to stay quiet, but I could not. Because I was trying to, you know, that was the equivalent. That was the equivalent of that, you know, the tumbleweed gif.
I can go. Do you want me to explain it? Funny when you're
that's all the best. All the best jokes need explaining, Mark. So please, for the benefit of those, you know, obviously we all got it and we thought it was fantastic. But for those listening who might not have understood,
what I was trying to convey is they have a player called Tony, and there are awards of high astute in the US called the Tony Awards, which I believe is for stage production, if I'm not
correct.
Thank you, Dale.
It's good. Can we have some more detail, please?
No, let's not. I've got a week to go in there.
You absolutely ruined it. I was like, right, we're going to wrap it up. We're all going to get have a week by you bastard. Ruined. Like, I had this whole thing. I've been waiting an hour and 20 minutes to say that. And then 4 seconds before I say it, he tells me he's going to have a fucking week.
Unbelievable.
Well, guys, look, thank you very much to Ned and Marky Mark. Dale, you've ruined everything, so I don't thank you. Now, guys, enjoy the non-Palace weekend. Things are looking up. I mean, Patrick, we trust. Up the Palace. Time for a week.
Berry? I'm
going
to
get berry.
Mango?
Mango's the only one I've heard of.
No, there's a passion fruit. There's all sorts down there.
Macadamia nut?
I won't get any of that shit.
Macadamia nut wings?
Right.
There's like seven boxes of them in there. These are brilliant.
Seven?
How many are in a box?
Four.
Okay. 21
Weasbots. I say 7.
Okay, well, there's our wonderful pod bit at the end is Rob's attempted maths.
$28
And here I was getting his advice on cryptocurrency to invest in before.